Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is the Football News and Knowledge Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Bell, and in today's episode, we got a lot to cover. It was a very interesting week of football in the National Football League. Week 11 had a lot of upsets. We'll be getting and possibly discussing some of those upsets today. If we don't today, we will for sure be talking about them Friday when we do the game predictions for Week 12. But with that being said, we do have a lot to talk about today, starting off with some big news out of Minnesota, as defensive end Everson Griffin had posted a video of him online with a gun. And this is not like a situation like how Damon Arnett did a couple weeks back. If you recall from when I've talked about it or from seeing it just in the news, Damon Arnett had posted a video with guns saying that he was going to kill someone and pretty much just making threats towards someone's life. Now, Everson Griffin had posted last night or early this morning a video of himself with a gun in his house, and he looks to be delirious or confused, but he is saying that someone is trying to kill him and that they are in his house. He, the very easy thing to say is that maybe he, Everson Griffin, has CTE, which is totally possible, but that's not diagnosable until after death. We have no way of diagnosing that until someone dies. And that's it. To be honest, if I, me looking at it, that's what I would think. So many head injuries, but at the same time, there's something going on with Everson Griffin. There was one shot that was fired off at the Griffin household. No one was hurt. He refused to come out to the police, and after I think it was 2 hours, he finally came out, and he is at the moment getting cared for. Now, the reason why I want to talk about this is because mental health is a huge thing in America, and I feel like a lot of the public perception of mental health is not the best. That's something is clearly wrong with you. You are, mentally messed up in the head, and that's not the case. Yes, the people who have and deal with mental illness every day, yes, they are battling things that you, the person who might be judging, you don't have any idea what that feels like. And I know that certain people who say, oh, well, everyone deals with depression. Yeah, but not everyone deals with chronic depression. Not everyone deals with what's going on. You're not dealing with the same things that everyone else is going on with. Everyone is different. And it's good to see that Everson Griffin's getting help now. This was a very scary moment for everyone that knows and loves him. Dalvin Cook's name was brought up in the video. Everson Griffin had mentioned that Dalvin Cook helped him buy the firearm that he was holding. And, Dalvin Cook had tried reaching out to Everson Griffin, tried calling him or FaceTiming him, and Everson Griffin did not get back to him. That is scary, because, put yourself in the Dalvin Cook shoes, that he may have helped. Let's say Everson Griffin was having or does have CTE, and he was having an episode and he ended up taking his own life with his gun that Dalvin Cook helped him buy, assisted with it. Dalvin Cook being a clear friend of Everson Griffin, That would probably destroy him a little bit. Imagine your friend taking their own life and you being the one who helped them get the weapon. That is a very tough situation, and thank God that that didn't happen. I hope that we all pray for good health for Everson Griffin, even, and I don't care if you're a Lions, Bears, or Packers fans, this is beyond football. You got to care about a person before a game, and that is pretty much why I'm saying, fuck football. Football aside from everything, let's just all hope and pray that Everson Griffin is okay. He's getting the help that he needs, and that this was a one-time thing, and it doesn't become a recurring issue. Now, with that, we are going to segue into another topic, which it's no easy way to segue into another topic when we're talking about mental health, but we are going to go over to the New York Giants as they just fired offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. And this is something that I feel like, even though they fired Jason Garrett, yes, was not performing well as an offensive coordinator for the Giants. I believe you can't be done there. I am a strong believer that if you're firing members of the coaching staff, you gotta get rid of, you gotta really do a clean sweep. The Giants have not performed well over the past couple of years, and I like Joe Judge, but I think the biggest person who needed to go wasn't Jason Garrett. I believe it was David Gettleman, the general manager of the New York Giants. Gettleman has routinely botched on draft picks, and just for an instance, he drafted Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick, and one of the worst offensive guards in football in the second round. Meanwhile, I'm blanking on his name even right now. That's how I can't even remember his name, but taking that draft, let's look at who they could have had. They could have, instead of drafting Saquon Barkley, could have drafted Quentin Nelson with that second overall pick. Then, at the 34th overall pick, they could have drafted Nick Chubb. And I don't think anyone will disagree with me right now that Nick Chubb has been a far and superior, just an all-around better back than Saquon Barkley since coming into the league, really. And Quentin Nelson is easily one of the best offensive guards, really all-around offensive lineman in the NFL right now. Gettleman needs to go. I think he should be next on the chopping block. And like I said, I'm a strong believer that if you are going to be firing coaches and or general managers, you gotta just wipe the plate clean. Throw it all in the trash, because you can bring in a new GM. That's great. That GM is not guaranteed to actually want Joe Judge. He could say all he wants, but he just wants to get that job. Just look at a lot of the players who are in the NFL right now. Look at Mitchell Trubisky, his first year when the Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky. When Trubisky was drafted, they had just signed Mike Glennon to be their essentially franchise quarterback. And then they immediately replaced him. And I know that's different with players, but it's the same concept. If what I'm trying to get at is dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. There's never going to be a team that's dysfunctional that says, hey, let's fire two of the guys who are the issue, but let's keep their best friends in here, and then we'll find someone to work with them. The new guy that comes in isn't going to want to work with them. He's going to want to bring in his own guys. Now, if they fire Gettleman, that I feel like they should fire Joe Judge. And it's a shame because Joe Judge was kind of handed a team that really lacked a lot of true talent, and he's added talent to the team. But at the same time, they are not getting the amount of production that they need out of that team. Daniel Jones is performing better than in years past, but still, you need to see more than what the Giants are giving. I mean, Giants are one of the most proud franchises in NFL history. I mean, Giants, Steelers, Packers, Cowboys, even, you could say, even though they haven't won anything in a while, the Raiders, again, haven't won anything in a while, 49ers, but they're franchises that are staples in the NFL and have been known for winning championships, and I said championships with an S, and that you can't have just subpar play year in and year out, which it definitely has a lot to. I would say that a lot of the blame goes on Gettleman, because Gettleman was the one who drafted Saquon Barkley. And for those who say, hey, Saquon Barkley's been injured, we don't know what he could have been, that's great and all, but they drafted Saquon Barkley to extend Eli Manning's career by a couple years and try and make him look like, try and give him the nice happy ending with the franchise, which was not the smart decision. The smart decision would have been to draft his replacement or draft offensive line, which was a huge need for them at that time as well. Yes, a very flashy running back is nice, but it's like getting a new sports car when you have a brand new, just Toyota Tundra. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, the extra car is nice, but you already have a car. Something you didn't need. Now, if they do fire Joe Judge, like I said, if they fire David Gettleman, I think Joe Judge should go with him. I think the entire staff should go no matter what if they fire either David Gettleman. But if they fire Joe Judge, I would say same thing. You take David Gettleman too. You take everyone. Everyone from that front office, everyone. You clean off that plate. You start fresh. Give the new head coach some years to develop a team. And yeah, there might not be winning seasons instantly or in the first 2 years, but as long as it shows progress to build something in the future, that's good. You can work with that. The fan base can work with that. And right now, and the reason why I'm saying I think they should clean the plate off, just start fresh, is because David Gettleman is not going to supply that for the New York Giants. It's just the cold hard fact. And with that, although it's unfortunate, that means Joe Judge would have to leave too, because Joe Judge was David Gettleman's guy. And again, like, David Gettleman has done a lot of bad drafting and just moves for this franchise. So I'm not really blaming it on Joe Judge. It seems like you're trying to put together a car with a lot of nice parts. Like, if you took a Let's give it a Honda Civic, for example. You have a Honda Civic body, but you attach a good wide receiver like Kenny Golladay or Kadarius Toney, and we'll just call those like we'll say that those are, you know, really nice tires. Rims. Let's say it's a just 22-inch rims. Let's just say that. You put 22-inch rims on that Honda Civic. Okay. Yeah, the rims are nice. The car with the rims doesn't look the best. Adding to that, you add some good players in free agency, but they don't really fit the scheme. You're just adding, like, you put on an old Nissan's spoiler, a Honda Accord's, I'm trying to think here. Honda Accord's front bumper lip. It, like, you just make a Frankenstein vehicle, essentially. That's what I'm trying to get at here. And that's what the New York Giants are doing right now. They are building a team that is just a Frankenstein monster. And it's because of David Gettleman. I mean, even let's say if they did what I just said that they did, where they took Quentin Nelson and Nick Chubb. Yes, that they don't get Saquon Barkley, that's fine. But then let's look to the 2019 draft where they took Daniel Jones. Let's say David Gettleman's not there. Do you think whoever is in his replacement is going to take Daniel Jones? I don't think so. And if we were redrafting that draft, we all know Daniel Jones would not have gone above the quarterback that went right after him, Josh Allen. Josh Allen would have become the New York Giants quarterback. And think about that. The Giants right now would be sitting with Quentin Nelson, Nick Chubb, and Josh Allen. And those are just three draft picks that I talked about. That team, literally just off of those three picks, would have an extra two, if not three, wins this season. So this, I think that the Giants need to clear ship and or clear that plate and just start over, and it sucks. But, and I'm not trying to knock Daniel Jones, by the way, in that, but let's be honest, Daniel Jones is kind of falling into that state where, yeah, he's okay to solid as a starter, but even just looking at his primetime ranking or record, he's kind of turning into that okay to solid quarterback who has, you know, the Kirk Cousins syndrome where he sucks in primetime. Daniel Jones is 0-8 in primetime games. It's not a good stat you want for your quarterback, for your franchise quarterback. Just not something you want to see. Now, when we return, we will be discussing a little bit about Josh Allen and the Bills when we return after this. Welcome back. This is the Football News and Knowledge Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Bell, and we are going to be discussing the Buffalo Bills and, you know, what can we really say about the Bills right now? They, a couple weeks back, were the number one team in the AFC East, the number one team in the AFC in general, and as of right now, they sit as the seventh seed in the AFC after losing a string of games. And quite frankly, I feel like it would be very inappropriate of me not to award the Bills with the, well, what happened? Did your balls drop off? Because, you know, they lose week six to the Titans in a close game, you know, whatever. Go into the bye week, week seven, they win, or week seven bye week. Week eight is a win against the Dolphins. Week nine is a loss against the Jaguars. Week 10 is a win against the Jets. Week 11 is a loss to the Colts, which means they are now alternating wins and losses, which is not something good. But here's a little statistic that I just wanted to point out to really everyone, and that is, if you look at the Bills and their wins and losses, there's something that kind of stands out. The Bills are 5-1 first teams with a losing record. They beat the Texans. They lost to the Jaguars. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Jets. They beat Washington. And they are 1-3 first the teams with the winning records, or with winning records. Teams like the Colts, they lost to. They lost to the Steelers. And they lost to the Titans. Now, they beat the Chiefs. But at the same time, when they beat the Chiefs were not clicking on all cylinders. The Chiefs are looking way more prominent now than they did a couple weeks ago. Yes, their offense did not look amazing this past week against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are a very good team, and the Chiefs' defense stepped up, which will definitely play a factor in how I view this Saints matchup tomorrow. Because, by the way, if you didn't realize, or if you're not from America, I know that we do have some listeners out in Germany, or out in Europe, and out in Australia, and even some, it appears, in South Korea. So, if you're listening, thank you for your listen. Please leave a 5-star review, and yeah, we love you guys. Now, there's some issues that I'm noticing with the Bills as of late. I of course picked the Bills to win against the Colts, and this is something I need to start doing before I do my predictions from now on, and I'm gonna start it this week. I never really check the weather for these games, and I will say that if I would have known that it was going to be raining in Buffalo, I would have taken the Colts to beat the Bills. Because with rain, you need to be able to run the ball, and the best runner on the Bills team, I don't care about the stats or anything, is Josh Allen, which, that's great and all. Great running quarterback, but if your wide receivers are going to be dropping every ball that comes to them because of the rain, the pass game is not really a threat. You can almost assume that he'll be running the ball when he drops back. Now, them facing a team with a great running back core behind Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, yeah, I would have taken the Colts if I knew it was going to rain. Now, luckily, the Bills will be playing in New Orleans, if you consider that luck, tomorrow. So they will not have to deal with the weather. They will have to deal with the crowd noise from the New Orleans Saints fans, which will definitely play a factor in the game. Or will it? There was some data that has come out showing that more oftentimes than not, the teams that should be dealing with some very rough crowds have actually won in those big games. And that's like a first in NFL history. What that's saying is pretty much the crowd noise, which is usually considered a huge factor in games. I mean, when think about with the Seahawks and how the 12th man was so hyped up, and that stadium could be so loud, and how the Chiefs stadium can be so incredibly loud Lambeau can be loud. All these stadiums that are known for their great, fan base and fan environment, Pittsburgh, and the when they play at home, a lot of these teams are coming in and beating them. And it's kind of for the first time in NFL history that crowd noise really has not played a big factor in these matchups that we are aware of, I should say. But I mean, I have to give the award really to the Bills. Even though it was raining, I'm going to give them the "What happened? Did your balls drop off?" award, because they are have been struggling, quite frankly, the past couple weeks. There's no easy way to say it. They are straight up struggling. And I'm not sure where to go from here. I think that they'll probably win tomorrow, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose. Excuse But looking at all that, I am going to say that we should take a commercial break. When we return, we shall be talking about some statistics for tomorrow's matchups when we return after this. Welcome back. This is the Football News and Knowledge Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Bell, and we are going to be diving into the game predictions for the Thanksgiving Day NFL Thursday night, Thursday all round, every all day games. Sorry, I'm just blanking a little bit. But taking a look at the first game, again, this game will have an updated, and a matter of fact, I'll probably post all my predictions tomorrow on the Twitter page. Remember that Twitter page is official FNK Live. And yeah, I'll post all of them tomorrow. That being said, taking a look at this game without seeing the film yet, I'm going to try and find a way to watch the Lions game film from last week. But this is a game that I'm very concerned about, and there's a lot of reasons behind it. One, Justin Fields is out for the Bears, Akeem Hicks is out, Allen Robinson is doubtful, Damian Williams out, Eddie Jackson is questionable, Mario Edwards is questionable, Tashaun Gibson is questionable, Marquise Goodwin is questionable. Now, I think that Matt Nagy is a better coach for the Bears when Andy Dalton is in. So I mean that could be very beneficial, but Andy Dalton, I think, will need some players to throw to. Now, him having Marquise Goodwin, which Marquise Goodwin will play, but it's not like Marquise Goodwin's like some top five receiver or even top really 20 or 30 receiver. So he's just a stretch the field weapon. Akeem Hicks is big, being out. Damian Williams is kind of big, being out. Allen Robinson being doubtful. I'm gonna assume he's out with that hamstring injury. Then taking a look at the Lions, Trinity Benson's out. Trey Flowers is out. Matt Nelson's out. AJ Parker's out. And HollyPollyVatiVaiti is out. Michael Prockers is questionable. Jared Goff is questionable. And Jamar Jefferson is questionable. Now, I can say that this game's in Detroit, and it's already been rumored that this will be Matt Nagy's final game as the Chicago Bears head coach, which, I mean, that has to suck to hear leading up to the game. Like, quite frankly, if I was Matt Nagy, and I knew that was going to happen. If all the reports are true that he's already been talked to about it, if I'm Matt Nagy, I'm going to make sure we lose. Which, granted, that's just me kind of being petty, but who says Matt Nagy isn't petty? This game I have a lot of issues with. I do need to see the film from last week to evaluate everything. I will say that the fact that they were able to hold the Browns to not really just blowing them out does give me a vote of confidence for the Lions, but at the same time, it's literally the Lions and how bad they've been this year. For a fun little stat for you, and this is something that definitely plays a role in my predictions, Jared Goff, even if he plays, which I think would be better for the Lions, Jared Goff, his record without Sean McVay as his head coach stands as 1 tie, 15 losses, and 0 wins. So what I'm saying, I just want to read that in reverse for dramatic effect, but Jared Goff is 0-15-1 without Sean McVay as his head coach. Heading into a game where he is questionable with an oblique injury and is a game-time decision, it does make it very difficult for me to take the Lions. I think as of right now, I am swaying more towards the Lions in this matchup, mainly because Andy Dalton's not really going to have anyone to throw to. Even when Andy Dalton came in against the Ravens, which I granted, the Ravens are a good defense, but even when he came in, he got lucky with a long touchdown pass, and he didn't really do anything that really impressed. It's a short week, doesn't have a lot of time to implement plays. If I recall correctly, I'm going to confirm this real fast. Week 11. Once it loads. Yeah, I just want to... Okay, never mind. I was going to say, if the Bears... I couldn't remember if the Bears played at Baltimore or not. If they would have played at Baltimore, I would have said, oh no. Oh hell no, I'm not taking the Bears. It is tricky, but I think as of right now, again, check in tomorrow, because I'm going to try my hardest to watch or find a way to watch that game film for the Detroit Lions versus the Cleveland Browns game, and or at least the Detroit side of the game film, and diagnose everything to make more accurate predictions. So tune into the podcast Twitter page at official FNK Live to see the official game predictions. I'm going to take the Lions, though, in this matchup. I'm going to take them by less than 3 points. Now, going to the next game, the Raiders at the Cowboys. And real quick, a little fun fact, another fun fact for you. Every team that is playing tomorrow in this Thursday night football matchup, Thanksgiving special, they all lost last week. That is the first time in NFL history that all six teams that are playing on Thanksgiving lost the week before. So, definitely makes for a interesting matchup and game. The Raiders are playing the Cowboys. It's in Dallas. And just looking at this game, this one's going to be pretty tricky as well, in large part due to the fact we don't know if CeeDee Lamb is playing for the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow, and Amari Cooper's out. You know, I know that there's certain people who will say, hey, Josh, you've literally been hyping up the Cowboys for the past like 5-6 weeks, saying that they are probably one of the best teams in the NFL right now. Yes, they are when they are healthy. They are not healthy right now. And that does play a key factor. As of right now, only CeeDee Lamb is questionable for this game. Then looking at the Raiders side, only Nick, I'm not going to try and pronounce that last name, Nick Kay, the linebacker, is questioners out for the Raiders. Now, this game is kind of hard because in a way I want to take the Raiders. I do. But on the other hand, I can't help but feel like I should be kind of backing the Cowboys. And for those people who will say, oh, the Raiders were just smoked by the Bengals. Yeah and no. The Bengals, first of all, the Bengals looked good. They got a lot of points. But the Bengals also had drove down the field a lot of the time and had their drives ended from good defensive play by the Raiders, and they had to settle for a field goal. And the Cowboys, who might not have CeeDee Lamb, won't have Amari Cooper, might be heading in with Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson as their number one and number two receiver. It does make it tricky for me to predict this game. I will still take the Cowboys in this matchup, but I would not be shocked if the Raiders won. And, it's funny because I can't help but feel like I'm going to get screwed out of this prediction because honestly, look at the past couple weeks. I said that I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts made it interesting against the Bills. They won. I said that Washington could have beat the Panthers. They did. Now, let's see. Another game. I'm trying to think here. I did not think the Vikings were going to beat the Packers. Kudos to the Vikings. But I said that the Texans were going to keep it interesting with the Titans. I said the Titans lack talent on offense with the absence of Julio Jones and Derrick Henry. Yes, they have AJ Brown. Yes, he did not drop a lot of balls, but they just lack talent. And they just released Adrian Peterson. So it I wasn't shocked about that game. Then I picked the Cowboys to beat the Chiefs, but am I shocked that the Chiefs won? Not entirely, especially once the Cowboys were dealing with the injuries. I think if the Cowboys don't deal with those injuries, they potentially win. It's not like the Chiefs' offense was firing on all cylinders. I'd say the only two games I really whiffed on were the Cardinals at the Seahawks and the Giants at the Buccaneers. Now, I picked the Buccaneers to win, but I thought it'd be a closer game, like a 24 to 27 win. Mainly because the primetime games have been interesting the past couple weeks, minus the Colts Jets game. But I'm gonna stick with the Cowboys. I'm gonna ride it out with them for right now, but I would not be shocked again if the Raiders pull off an upset. Now, going on to the final game of the week, which is of the Thursday night Thanksgiving special, which is the Bills at the Saints. And I know that certain people would probably say, well, Josh, especially Bills fans, Josh, how are you going to give the Bills the what happened, did your balls drop off award when, the Saints have literally lost their last three games after starting 6-2. And yeah, or sorry, 5-2. Yeah, they lost their last three. Jameis Winston got injured, their starting quarterback. I am really confused on why they don't play Taysom Hill at quarterback. Trevor Siemian is just a game manager. I said that a couple weeks ago. He is not meant to lead a team down the field over and over again and win you football games. He is meant to come in and control the game. If your quarterback gets injured at the end of the game, to control the clock and pretty much help win that game. And just taking a look at those games that the, like, again, that's exactly what happened week eight. Jameis Winston got injured week eight. They were up. He controlled the clock and played it well. But usually the backups this year have been when they've had to step in halfway through the game, they've performed well. And he controlled the clock, won the game for the Saints. Then going against the Falcons, I said this from the beginning, Falcons Saints have a very weird rivalry. The Falcons win in New Orleans and the Saints win in Atlanta. So honestly, I wasn't shocked about that game. The Titans game kept it close. Titans, of course, being one of the better teams in the AFC, overrated in my opinion. I think that they probably should have lost that, or the Saints should have won that game. And then the Eagles game, I had the Eagles winning that game. Looking at this game, they're versing the Bills in New Orleans. Heading into it, the only two injuries on the Bills injury report are Cole Beasley and Tremaine Edmonds, both who fully participate in practice on Wednesday. Then for the Saints, they'll be without Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Davenport, Tano. I'm not going to try and pronounce that last name. I probably butchered his first name, to be honest. But the defensive end, Tano K. Mark Ingram is questionable. He was limited today, and he did not participate in practice on Tuesday. And then Teron Armstead is questionable. He was limited in practice as well today and yesterday and Monday. I'm going to go with the Bills in this matchup. And that shouldn't really come to a shock. I don't think that's going to shock anyone here, or anyone who listens. But I'm going to say this, Bills fans, if the Bills win or lose this game, you guys are done. I'm not, as of right now, you've fallen out of my serious Super Bowl contender board. You're still a Super Bowl contender, but not a serious one to where I would say, hey, you guys could win it. And I can say if you lose this game, I would say you're not Super Bowl contenders this year, and you are really not. I'm not sure if I could even consider you a true playoff contender. Yes, you'll probably make the playoffs, or you know what? You might actually not. You guys aren't performing well. Sad to say, because you started off very good. But that's what this league or this year has brought us, which is kind of nice. It's exactly what Pete Rozelle envisioned when he tried to make the NFL more fair and make it more exciting for the playoffs. He wanted it to be where halfway through the year you couldn't just look at it and say, yep, that team's in the playoffs, those teams are gone. And outside of the Lions, who technically are not eliminated yet, and the Texans, again, who are technically not eliminated yet, everyone's still in contention. And that's really Pete Rozelle's dream, which it's amazing to see. I mean, technically, I'm a Falcons fan, of course. The Falcons are still in playoff contention. Almost every single team, well, really every single team is technically in playoff contention still. Couple of teams, highly unlikely. Also, the Jags, the Jets, highly unlikely that they would make the playoffs. But I mean, honestly, every team, like the over 75% of the NFL is still in playoff contention, which it really does make for an exciting season. Probably the most exciting season that I've seen, and I'm sure we have all seen as fans, in the past decade. But with that being said, just recapping one more time, as of right now, again, check the Football News and Knowledge Twitter page. Again, it's at @officialfnklive on Twitter. That is the Twitter handle. I will leave in the description of this episode, as I do for all the episodes. Check it tomorrow to see the game predictions. I'm taking, as of right now, the Lions to beat the Bears, the Cowboys to beat the Raiders, with a potential upset from the Raiders, but I'm still going to take the Cowboys as of right now, and the Buffalo Bills to beat the New Orleans Saints. That wraps up this episode. I'd like to say thank you to all the listeners and the support from the listeners and the Football News and Knowledge community. We love you, and we are very thankful for all the love and support. I will see you again on Friday. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the feast. We'll see you again Friday.